Well, that was a blessing right there, I tell you. That is so tremendous. You know, the thing about music is it prepares us, prepares our hearts for the preaching of God's word. And my heart is prepared. I don't know about you, but my heart is after that. Thank you so much for that. All right, well, let's go and take our Bibles. And let's go to Matthew chapter number 28, Matthew 28. Of course, we know this passage, and we're very familiar with it. No doubt you'll hear more during the week, during your missions conference, from this passage. But even though we're familiar with it, it's good to come back to it very often, to be reminded of the truth of this passage. Matthew 28, we're going to begin at verse number 16 this morning. And if you're able to, if you would stand with me as we look into God's word this morning, Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin at verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the privilege to gather together to worship you this morning. We pray that you would bless your word and that your Holy Spirit would meet with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like us to look at the mission of the Great Commission, because this Great Commission here that Jesus gave his disciples and that he has given to us is our mission. And each one of us is responsible for doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission. So this morning we're going to look at what it takes, what it's going to take from us to fulfill this Great Commission that God has given to us. You know, many organizations have what they call a mission statement. The mission statement basically just tells you what their purpose is for existing, why they're in the world. And even Jesus, you could say, had a mission statement in Luke 19:10. When he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came. That was his mission. And ask yourself this morning, as we look at this passage, ask yourself, what is the mission statement of your life? What are you making the mission of your life? This morning, I would like us to think about making the Great Commission our own personal mission in life, to do everything that we can do to see it fulfilled and to see it accomplished in the world. There are many things that we can learn from the disciples in this passage about how to fulfill the Great Commission. Because there are many things that we need to do to make it come to pass. And the first thing I would like us to notice is that they worship the Lord. If you notice there again in verse number 17, it says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So when it says they saw him, they're speaking of the resurrected Lord after his resurrection, before his ascension. They gathered there into the mount where Jesus had appointed them, and there they worshiped him. So before Jesus ever sent them out into the world to preach the gospel, they were worshiping him. That's an important reminder for us, is that before we ever leave these doors and go out into the world to reach the world with the gospel, let's make sure that we're properly worshiping the Lord, that our hearts are right with him. That's what the disciples were doing. Again, before he ever sent them out, they were worshiping him. Now, what does it mean to worship? Well, to worship means that we consider something ultimately worthy of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And my prayer is that for all of us who are here today, that we would make sure that God is the one who is ultimately worthy of our time, our talent, and our treasure. That we are giving him every part of our lives. That we are worshiping him in every area of our lives. You know, worship is not just a public thing. You know, what we're doing right now is worship. We have gathered together as a church to worship the Lord in song, in prayer, and in preaching. But worship is so much more than that. We need to worship God at home, in our marriages and how we raise our children, at the job, at school, in the neighborhood. Everything that we're doing, we We need to make sure that we're worshiping the Lord, because worship does not come from without. It comes from within. God is mostly concerned about the condition of our hearts, and are our hearts worshiping him? Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:24. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship is a spiritual matter. How is your heart this morning? Is your heart tender to the things of God? Are you ready to worship him? Are you prepared in your heart to see the world reached with the gospel? Everything that we do in our lives must be about worship to him. It must be to his glory, everything we do. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible tells us, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And then Psalm 29:2 gives us this reminder. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And then we're challenged to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, you can worship God in your behavior, how you act, the choices you make, the things you say, the places you go. All of that is about worshiping him. And we need to make sure that we are properly worshiping the Lord, because that's what they were doing, again, before he ever sent them out. They were making sure that they were close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were worshiping him, but then also they were commissioned as ambassadors for Christ. They were under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that word power has two different meanings in the New Testament. It can mean either power from the standpoint of ability, you know, I have the ability, I have the power to do something, or authority. Here, Jesus is speaking about his authority. He has authority over everything. Everything is under his authority. That includes our witness. That includes our gospel preaching. And they were sent out as ambassadors for Christ. We are, as believers, if you're saved this morning, you are an ambassador for him. You're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Bible makes it very clear to us what our responsibility is when it comes to the gospel. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse number 18. The Bible says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And notice this, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given, entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry of reconciliation? Our responsibility is to preach to people so that they can be reconciled to their Creator. Because, man, every man who is lost is an enemy of God. He is at odds. The relationship is completely broken with the God who made him. Our responsibility is to show that person how they can be made right with God. They can be reconciled to God and become his child. That is our responsibility. We have been given that. And verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And verse 21, that is the message, that God the Father made him the Son to be sin for us. That Christ died on the cross in our place. You know, each one of us here, all of us deserved to be nailed to that cross ourselves because of our sin. But Jesus stepped in our place. He took our punishment. He took our sins upon himself. And not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So that any person can be saved. Any person, anyone who believes can be saved. But we are ambassadors for him. And we have to take that seriously, that responsibility. We are under his authority as ambassadors. You know, we as a nation, we send ambassadors out all across the world. I see the flags of all these nations here. We have ambassadors sent out to these nations. People, and what does the ambassador do? They represent the United States in that foreign land. They represent the interests of our nation in a foreign place. Well, let me remind us that we live, as Christians, we are in a foreign land. This world is not our home. But we have been left here by God to be ambassadors for Christ. Each one of us, if you're saved, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. Remember what that word means, little Christ. Are you a little Christ this morning? Are you adequately and accurately representing the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason why so many Christians are not reaching the world with the gospel is because they are not good ambassadors for Christ. Imagine if we sent an ambassador overseas to another country, and they become so enamored with that nation, they fall so much in love with that country, they say, you know, I love this country so much that I'm done with America. I'm going to become a citizen of this country. Well, what would happen? Their ambassadorship would be revoked. You can't represent us if you're no longer with us. That's so true of so many Christians today. They have fallen so in love with the world, they become so much like the world, that they can no longer represent the Lord Jesus Christ. They have forfeited their ambassadorship because they're so in love with the world. Now, it doesn't mean they lose their salvation. They can't be brought back to God and become an ambassador again. But so many Christians are so into the world, they're so involved in the world, they're so in love with the world, that they can't represent Christ. They have the world all over them. And James 1:27 tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But these disciples were under his authority. He told them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let's not forget that. Now, when we go out, any person who goes out with the gospel is going in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be reminded of that. Let's go back now to Matthew 28. And continue on through the passage this morning. Matthew 28. So Jesus reminds them of his authority, that they're under his authority, and he's sending them out under his authority. And then verse 19, they are commanded to go. The first word there in verse 19 is go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. When Jesus sent them out to go, what was he sending them out to do? To preach the gospel. That's why it says teach all nations. Preach the gospel to everybody in the entire world. Reach all nations with the gospel. How are we going to reach all nations? How do we do that? How do we reach the whole world with the gospel? Because obviously one person cannot go to every country and preach the gospel to every person in that country. So how do we do it? How do we reach the world with the gospel? Through faith, promise, missions, giving. When you give to missions, you are getting the gospel out across the entire world. Every continent, every country, they have a missionary in. Your dollars are getting the gospel out in countries all across the world, in states all across this country. You're getting the gospel out all across the world through faith, promise, missions, giving. And Jesus reminded his disciples in Acts 1:8, he says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the gospel was not just for the local community. It was, but it was to go out beyond that, the regions beyond, just to get that circle of the gospel to go out further and further and further until you reach the whole world. Every verse that deals with the Great Commission, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, talks about reaching the entire world. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we see, of course, we know from Matthew 28:19, to teach all nations, Acts 1:8, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Mark 16:15, into all the world, preach to every creature. And then Luke 24:47, that his name should be preached among all nations. So the picture is very clear. Jesus wants us to reach the whole world with the gospel. God wants every single person, no matter who they are, where they come from, what language they speak, no matter the color of their skin, God wants that person to hear the gospel. God wants us either to preach directly to them or to support someone who will preach to them. That's our responsibility. Why do we need to reach the entire world? Why do we need to send missionaries out to every single country, especially now that we have all this technology? And you can reach the world, you know, over the internet now. Well, why is that so important? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10 real quickly. Romans chapter 10. Even though methods may change, technology changes, God's way of getting the gospel out has never changed. It has remained the same since it began. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. We'll begin where the Romans road ends. At verse 13. So the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we end the Romans road right there. But of course, God doesn't end there. He's got more to say about that topic. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then look at this. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Why do we need to reach the world with the gospel? Because that's how people hear the gospel, from our lips to their ears. That's how the gospel gets out. It's the same method as it was 2,000 years ago. It's the same today. Because the gospel, really, getting the gospel out is about relationships, building relationships with people. And as great as technology is, that we can reach the whole world with technology. I can talk to someone in India right now about something, and or I can talk to someone in China or Russia or Brazil. I can talk to somebody in South Africa right now at this very moment because of technology. But you cannot build a relationship with a website or a YouTube channel or a radio station. Again, nothing wrong with using those things to get the gospel out. I think it's wonderful to use the technology that we have to get the gospel out throughout the entire world, to have radio stations, to have YouTube channels or television channels, or whatever it may be, any method that we can use. But in the end, it's about a relationship, one-on-one. Not just preaching the gospel, but investing in the life of someone, showing someone that you care, and telling them that God loves them and proving that love through your actions toward them. That's how the gospel gets out. And of course, what we want to see happen is someone get gloriously saved, to know that they're on their way to heaven. That's the goal. That's the Great Commission. But too many times we have this mindset that when a person has been saved, our work is done. But it's not done. Go back to Matthew 28. We'll see this. The work of the Great Commission does not end with a conversion. Matthew 28 again. And verse number 19. And Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then look. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen. So those disciples were not just worshiping the Lord. They weren't just under his authority, and they weren't just commanded to go. They were instructed by the Lord to disciple. It's very important. You know, God has a model for the church continuing, for the next generation to be reached. And it's found in 2 Timothy 2:2. Which says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And that only happens with discipleship. The Great Commission truly is accomplished and completed when we have discipled someone. For what purpose? So that they then can go to someone and reach them with the gospel and disciple them. And then that person can take what they have learned, preach the gospel to someone, see that person saved, and then disciple them. Discipleship is so important. It's something that's missing in many churches, is not just seeing people saved, but also getting them baptized and then discipling them in the things of the Lord, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them how to act, how to talk, teaching them about church and of all the things that are important in the Christian life, teaching them how to treat their spouse, how to raise their children, all of those things. Discipleship is extremely important. We must be involved in that. That is where the Great Commission is ultimately completed and fulfilled, is when we are investing our lives into the life of someone else. And many, you know, there are many discipleship courses and classes that can be taken, and those things are all good. But that's not the be-all and end-all of discipleship either. Real discipleship is about taking someone and having them come alongside you and showing them how to be a Christian, showing them how to live according to the Word of God by letting them follow your example and investing in their life, taking the time to be with them, to fellowship with them, to teach them, to show them. That's discipleship. And that's where the Great Commission is ultimately fulfilled, as when we have been able to see ourselves reproduced in someone else. It's a lot like having a child. It doesn't end with a birth. Really, everything just begins at that point. Then you have to teach that child, train that child, help that child to grow so that they will one day be a mature adult that can raise children of their own. That is just like discipleship. You know, think about all that time and money and stress and sacrifice that you make in raising children. You know, if you have grown children, you know, you've been through the whole process. You know what that's like. It costs money. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. You know, there are times of frustration, but there are times also of great joy, especially when you see your children doing the right things on their own. You say, hey, they didn't need to come to me to do the right thing. They did it on their own. And that's what we want to see in the lives of new believers, new converts. Remember, the Bible calls them babes in Christ. They're just baby Christians. They need help. They need to be shown the things of the Word of God. You know, think about this. Think about it. Someone has a baby and they just abandon it. Think about that. You know, you wouldn't have a child and then just leave it to itself. Like, well, they're on their own now, you know. I mean, I'll be there if they need me, but here you go. You know, good luck. We would never do that. That's cruel. It's heartless. Why? Because that baby needs help. It can't survive on its own. This world is tough, and a baby cannot make it on its own. A toddler cannot make it on its own. The same is true for a new believer. This world is tough, and there is an enemy. And for any new convert, any new believer, they can't make it on their own. God never intended us to live the Christian life alone. He gave us each other to help each other, to challenge each other, to grow each other in the Lord, to edify. You know, the word edify means to build up. It's like an edifice. You build it up. And that's what we're to do for each other. Whether someone's been saved for 50 years or 5 minutes, it's about building each other up. It's about taking the time to invest in someone else's life, to teach them. And when you do that, they're going to mess up. Just like babies. What do babies do? They make messes. You have to come along and clean up. And that happens too for new Christians. They're going to mess up. They're not going to know. Maybe they'll say a word that Christians shouldn't say. What do? Well, you work with them. You exhibit patience. Jesus was patient with his disciples. We know that. Because how many times did they get it wrong? But he was patient with them, long-suffering. He invested his life on this earth into them. He poured himself out for them, to show them, to teach them, to train them. And they messed up. Many times they messed up. They got it wrong. But Jesus never quit on them. Do not quit on a new convert. Don't give up. Because one day it'll all be worth it. When you see that Christian mature, And then they are doing the things on their own. You know, they don't have to be reminded to come to church. They don't have to be reminded to give. Be told what to do in every single situation. They have discernment, and they know what the right thing to do is. The thing about discipleship, too, is that really all of us are somewhere on that road of discipleship. We're all still learning the things of God. I'm still learning. I have a lot more I know I need to learn as a Christian. You know, I haven't arrived yet, and really none of us have. You know how we know that? Because we're still here. There's still things that God wants for us to learn. So let's be reminded of that, that discipleship is where the Great Commission ultimately is fulfilled, or the mission is completed. It's not just about seeing someone saved. That's what we want. That's really the beginning step. That's the beginning process. Then that person needs to be baptized. They need to be discipled. They need to be shown the things of God. You know, as believers, you know, we need to be separated from a lot of things in this world. You know, we need to be separated from false teaching, false doctrine, from the wickedness of the world. You know, God has called us to separate from those things, to separate from those things and separate ourselves unto God. But what about our ambitions? What about our goals and dreams? Are they different from the world's? You know, I would argue that we should not just be separated from false doctrine and sin, but also from the ambitions of the world. Because what do people in the world want to do? They want to make money, they want to be popular, they want to be famous, powerful, whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. But is that the ultimate purpose of your life as a Christian? To make lots of money? To be powerful? To have lots of stuff? The ultimate purpose of our lives should be to fulfill the Great Commission, to see it done, to do what we can. And again, not every person is called to go to a different country or to a different state. But we're all been called to preach the gospel, whether it's across the street, across town, across the country, or across the world. And even if you never go to a foreign country, your dollars get the gospel out all over the world. So don't forget that. You might think, well, I'm not the missionary or I'm not the church planner. No, but without you, we couldn't go. Without you following the Lord in obedience and giving of yourself financially, we could not do what we do. It would not happen. Nobody sees the missionary coming, whether it's overseas or in America, and says, oh, the missionary, here, have everything for free. You can have a building for free. You know, you can have a car for free. You can have everything for free. That does not happen. No matter where they go, it doesn't happen. Everything costs money. And so we do need money to go. But just giving, you are doing your part to make the Great Commission happen. But let me remind you this. Don't neglect your responsibility here at home. We've had many missionaries come through our church who have reminded us, don't send us out and then not do your responsibility here in your Jerusalem. You know, you reach your area so that we can then reach our area. And if we do that, then we can fulfill the Great Commission. We can make the Great Commission the mission of our lives and see it accomplished. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what you have challenged us with this morning. Lord, we know that we have all been called to get the gospel to the entire world, whether that's going as a missionary ourselves or supporting financially a missionary who goes. We all have a part to play. We all have a role. I just pray that you would help all of us to see the Great Commission fulfilled so that we could say, when it's all said and done, mission accomplished, that we have done our part to reach the world with the gospel. Lord, help us to go forward to do that work, Lord, in your power and in your strength. And help us, Father, to honor and to glorify you in every area of our lives, including our witness. For we pray these